Day one, track three of the Overnightscape Underground. Hello. Yes, I am your host, Frank Edward Nora. Hello. Hey, everybody. Yes. Here we are on the Overnightscape Underground. It's about 12:45 a.m. here on day one of the Overnightscape Underground. Yes, we're 45 minutes into the Overnightscape Underground, into day one. And you just heard a song called My Straw Hat Mix 3. And I love that song. I was listening to that show that song over and over again today. It is actually a few days later now in real time. See, now this is what we have to figure out. There's show time and then there's real time. In real time on Wednesday night, November 14th, 2007. But on show time, it is, what is it, like 12:46 a.m. now on day one of the Overnightscape Underground. Yeah, that's a great song. And I wanted to mention, because I thought I had read this. Mike Mikerman, right, who I mentioned was one of the guys that worked on that song, he died, actually. And I found there's some very obscure website here. It's I guess Mephidia is not obscure, but it's like a podcast called Virtual Songcast. And this is an episode from July 5th, 2006. And it says, Icing on Someone's Cake. And it says, in this episode, I talk with Marty Kyle about Icing on Someone's Cake. This is a song created on my virtual band after the passing of a friend and a great musician, Mike Mikerman. In an outpour of love, the MVB community remembers a friend. So, yeah, they made a song. And actually, it's one of the songs that was released on myvirtualband.com called Icing on Someone's Cake. So at some point, I will play that song here on the Overnightscape Underground. I do plan on playing most of those featured songs. But just wanted to mention that. So, Mike Mikerman is no longer with us. But thank Mike, wherever you are, for such a great song. Yes, indeed. Talking about death, I'm getting some life insurance. And I never knew it was so much work to get life insurance. It's a lot of work. In fact, they have to do like sort of a medical exam, right? Like, you know, you tell them all the stuff about yourself, how old you are and your height and your weight and all this stuff. And they, you know, they don't trust you. They need to send over what they call a paramedical examiner, to do some medical tests on you. I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And yeah, they come to your house. So, I tried contact. It's taken weeks to get this appointment. The guy was just here like a few hours ago, like an hour ago. I don't want to like go in late for work just for this stupid thing. And when I bought the insurance, the woman said that I could get it done at night. So finally, this guy that lives in the same town as me said he can come over. And I didn't know what to do. Today I went on the internet and I was looking for life insurance exams, and they're saying don't eat food for 8 hours before the exam and do this and do that. I didn't get any instructions. I don't think did I get any instructions on this. I mean, like, you know, the thing is, it's like I got this huge this life insurance company, they started sending these huge stacks of papers. They would send you the thing, it's like a novel. They send you this big envelope, just you open it up, it's just filled with literally 50, 60, 70 pages of stuff printed out. I'm not going to read this crap. Come on, you know what I mean? I'm not going to read this garbage. I don't know. So I'm sure buried somewhere. And then they send another one and another one. What is this stuff? I don't even know. I'm sure somewhere in there it's told you how to do your medical exam. I didn't look at any of this stuff. So I don't know. I made sure, I had my lunch, around 12 or 1. And I didn't eat anything since then. So. Well, now I had my dinner, which is a nice big bowl of orzo pasta with butter and spices and hot sauce. There you go. My staple food. But yeah, so that's, I sort of got a sense of it from that. I also didn't, I wasn't sure, what's the guy going to do? Is he going to bend over and cough? No. So they said it's very normal, nothing invasive, a little bit invasive. I'll tell you what happened. So the guy, we're going to do it for 8:30 because I never know what time I'm getting home from work. Luckily, I got home a little bit early this evening. And it was like 7 when I got home. I'm like, oh, I got to wait an hour and a half. I can't eat anything, whatever. So the guy calls. He's like, "Hey, I'm on the Parkway. Can I come over sooner? You know, it would be good for me." I'm like, "Yeah, fine. Just come over now." So the guy comes over, and you know, I guess he was in kind of a, like, he wanted to get home. Like, I don't know, is this his job, or is this like a little like side, like, is this like a little side thing for him, you know? I don't know. So he comes in, kind of has like a Russian accent, this guy, and had a, just like an envelope. He opens it up, and there's like a box in there, and all the tools of the trade are in there. So first he's like, "May I see your driver's license?" So I give him my driver's license. He's like, "Okay." Starts writing it out. "Here, take this cup." He gives me his cup. And it has like, it's one of those, it has like a little, not a funnel, but like a little, like a measuring thing, and there's a little spouty thing to pour. A little tiny spout thing. Now, the spout thing is so small, it doesn't do anything, okay? He's like, "Okay, so fill this with urine, okay?" And then he handed me these two smaller tubes. Like one is colored like green and one is colored like red. And he's like, "Please fill these up halfway each from the cup," right? So I I'm like, "Okay," I go in the bathroom, and you know, I am generally a klutz, right? And this is like, there's no really good flat surfaces in my bathroom to put things. I kind of put it on the top of the toilet or on the sink, whatever. So I start to urinate, and then I put the cup in the urine stream and get, I'm like, how much urine do I need? Like, I guess I should try to fill it up in case, like, I don't know. I couldn't really estimate. Like, I should have realized I didn't need that much urine, but I filled it all the way to the top. And then I'm like, so I'm holding the cup of urine. I'm like, what do I do now? So, like, I needed to take the caps off these little tubes. So I, I put the urine down, but then I splashed it a little bit. And like a little bit of urine got on the top of the toilet. I'm like, no, it wasn't that much. I cleaned it up. And, I was like, you know, me as a klutz spilling liquids, it's not good to have a cup of urine in my hand. So I opened the one thing up, and it's like that little spouty thing. It does nothing. So of course I'm just pouring it over the toilet, and just a big bleh of urine is like flowing, not just into this thing, but all around it. So now the tube is sort of like just, it's just the inside and outside of it is sort of covered in urine. And so I kind of sealed it up, and I don't know, I ran it under the sink to try to like get the urine off and the other one and whatever. So finally I was all done. And like, "Here you go, here's your urine." You know, I didn't say that, but you know, I said, "Here you go, these two little warm vials of urine." And then the guy's like, what else? He's like, "Sign this." So I had signed a paper. Then he does the blood pressure thing, and it was okay. And then he like, then it's time for the blood test. Of course, he needs to take some blood. Now I am not. Wait, let's put it this way, okay? And recently, I also had to have a couple other blood tests because I went to the doctors and stuff. So anyway. Normally, this I don't have a huge like phobia for this, but I don't think it's a pleasant thing for anyone, and I'm not very used to it. So what they do is, like, you know, you have your arm and sort of like on your elbow, the inside of your elbow area, whatever that's called. What's that part of your body called? That should have a name. It's like not your elbow, but it's the inside part of your elbow, like your phlegm, whatever, your phlegm. I don't know what. It should have a name, but that's where they like to get the blood from. So the guy is like, you know, he starts tapping, and he's like, "Hmm." And I know last time I got, I see it hurts now. I'm looking at it. I have these holes on my arms. Anyway, it's rather unpleasant, you know. I don't know how these intravenous drug users like get into that stuff. I really don't. That's pretty bad. So he starts tapping around and having a hard time finding it. Then he sticks his needle in it. It hurts more than usual. I'm like, what? I didn't really flinch or react or whatever. I could sort of handle it. And he's like probing around in there. He's like, uh-oh. So I look down. Normally, you know, normally I don't look at the bloods coming out because I don't even want to know what's going on down there. I just want to get it done with. He's like, "Oh, yeah, okay." He's like, "Sorry." So he pulls the whole thing out. He didn't get any blood out of that arm. So we go to the other arm. He's like, start pumping your fist. So I'm pumping my fist. And he's trying to find it. He's tapping it. He finally finds it. So he's like... So then he's like, "Okay, good." Now, of course, so I'm looking now to see if it works, and I see there's like blood gushing out into this test tube type thing. It was more than I had imagined it would be. I'm like, "Oh God!" And then he took out another test tube and filled up another test tube. I'm like, "Whoa!" You know, I don't know, man. But that was the worst of it. And he put like little gauze on there and stuff. So I have holes in my arms here. You know, they hurt a little bit, but whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they'll be bruised by the morning. That's what happened. They stick these needles in you, you get all bruised. Yeah, it's unpleasant. It really is. Ugh, these people that are shooting heroin up, I don't know. That's like, I don't know, that's very much like the depths of misery doing something like that, man. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, then that was it. The guy, you know, he met Mr. Jesse, Mr. Sasha. He liked the cats. Mr. Sasha was up on the table while he was doing all the tests and stuff, you know. And he's like, okay, now I could go. Because I guess he just wanted to go home, and he had to do this little job in between. A paramedical examiner. I wonder how much he gets paid to do that. And he, so like, he walks out. He has my urine and my blood in like a little, you know, in like a bag or a box or something. I guess does he drop it off at a lab or something? I don't know. Does he have like a little lab at home? He tests all this stuff? I don't know. But that's the thing. Like they say, like, you know, the whole thing with the life insurance, I was very much like, you know, if you smoke cigars, even if you smoke a cigar like a couple times, you know, once or twice a week, because I haven't really been smoking as much, they're like, yeah, you got to pay the same rate as someone that smokes like mass amounts of cigarettes, right? So like, I had to pay the same life insurance rate to someone that's smoking like three packs a day, and it's so unfair. And I tried to find alternates, but I really couldn't find any. So they're like, so I said, you know, to the person on the phone, I'm like, well, what should I do? You know, this is ridiculous. I don't think that cigars are, if I smoke a couple cigars, it's nowhere near as unhealthy as smoking all these cigarettes. She's like, well, you know, that's how we, you know, we do it. And I'm like, well, you know, well, maybe I'll go somewhere else and just not tell them. She's like, well, but we do a urine test. We'll see the nicotine in there. I'm like, oh, whatever. You can't get away from them. You have to give up so much privacy just to get something like life insurance, you know? It's one of those things. It's just like, you know, like you'll never know. Like, if you just die in an accident, you would never know. But then if you get a disease and you're dying, you'll know at least that your loved ones will get some money. I don't know. It's not a very pleasant topic, is it? No, it's not. I'm using my older Mad Player here. I mean, the old firmware is so much better. The Mad Player website is back up, so I'm going to get some older firmware on some of the other ones here. Yes. Great. Wow, it's awesome to be here on the underground, yeah. The Overnightscape Underground. Whoa. Ah, yes. Still within the first hour of the Overnightscape Underground, right? The first of many hours of show. Anyway, I got something great coming up for you here on the Overnightscape Underground. What the hell's going on here? This is a... I had talked about a lot of the different range of stuff that I want to start playing on the show. And here on day one, I want to try to get a representation of all of the different kinds of things I'm going to be playing on the Overnightscape Underground. So here we go. This is something that I actually used in a very obscure piece of audio that was never released. At some point, I will get to my failed experiments. I've had a number of failed audio experiments for new shows. So I created sort of like beta versions. You know, like with the Overnightscape, I did the beta versions, which, of course, the beta Overnightscapes are coming up on this day as well. Those definitely will be coming up. But I, you know, though in that case, I did beta episodes and it worked. But there are some shows where I made test episodes and the show, it just wasn't working. So I didn't do it. And there was one show called Window National that I tried out and didn't work out. And I used the first one of these. This is these ephemeral films from archive.org. And specifically, this is in the Prelinger Archive. The Prelinger Archive. And... ephemeral films are like films they made that were educational, you know, like films they would show in school, different like industrial films, right? Ephemeral films. These were not motion pictures, you know, that they released in theaters. So this Prelinger Archive has hundreds or thousands of these that are in the public domain, right? Released into the public domain. So there's so much great stuff. But this is a video, but I'm, of course... since the Overnightscape Underground is audio, I'm going to be playing you the audio of this. And I love this one. I've listened to this one so much. At least part one I've heard a lot. This is Coffee House Rendezvous. Okay? It was produced circa 1969. And it's released on archive.org in two parts. Coffee House Rendezvous Part 1 and Coffee House Rendezvous Part 2. And This is the description shows coffee houses sponsored by churches and community organizations and how they function as gathering places for countercultural youth. So the basis of this is that at this point in history, coffee houses, which I guess were sort of the domain of beatniks and stuff and real counterculture characters, by 1969 had sort of been embraced by the mainstream, by the churches and community organizations. And they just sort of created these coffee houses for the youth, but totally controlled by the churches and stuff. So it's an awesome bit of audio. Producer is Steeg Ted Productions. But this is in the public domain. And, basically I got the video and I just extracted the audio from it. So what I'm going to be doing is anything that's public domain is just going to stay in the public domain. So these next two audio files you're hearing, the Coffee House Rendezvous Part 1 and Part 2, the audio of these is public domain, right? So that's an interesting thing, that the pieces of audio can be different licenses. And, I realize, I was listening back to that first segment I did. I mean, I know hearing about these licenses is very, very, annoying, okay? But it is important because the previous licensing system has caused so many problems. It is time to really embrace this new system. So, right now, this is what I'm saying right now is not public domain, but the next two audio pieces you hear are in the public domain. And of course, if I change them in some way, I could claim a new copyright to them, but I'm not doing that. I didn't even change them. I just ripped the audio and that's it. So I hope you enjoy these. It's Coffee House Rendezvous Part 1 and Part 2. Part 1 is about 13 minutes and 27 seconds long. Part 2 is 13 minutes and 39 seconds long. So the total for both of them is around 27 minutes and 4 seconds. And then I will be back after that with more great stuff here on the Overnight Escape Underground. It feels so great to be here on the underground as I play with my Tangle Therapy. Yes, indeed. I love all these little stress reliever thingies I have around the studio here. Yes. So here we go. Get ready to head back to the 60s, the groovy 60s from a church and community organization perspective. Here we go.